Kind Father, we just thank you so much, and we celebrate what you're doing in the hearts and lives of so many people, and especially those that are making that commitment of baptism this morning. God, it is 100% you. Lord, no human, no pastor, no one gets any credit but you. God, to you be all the glory. You're the Savior. You're the ones that we need. And so, Lord, even as we turn to your word and as we study and dig into this scripture, God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would take over and you would be so clear. You just help me get out of the way. And the message that you have for us this morning, God, that we would hear from you. We love you, Jesus, and we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, friends, we're going to be in Luke chapter 17 this morning. For those that like to follow along in your own Bible, Luke chapter 17. And as we get into this chapter, we read that Jesus is headed down south, as you can see, to the capital city of Jerusalem. At that time, many of the feasts and festivals were supposed to be celebrated in this ancient city. And so devout Jews would make a pilgrimage. I mean, it's down, but it's also up in the mountains. So up to Jerusalem multiple times during the year. So let's read about it. Luke 17, starting in verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. Okay, so as we're reading along here, understand that already tensions are high on this road because at that time, Jews and Samaritans did not get along very well. They were ethnically different, religiously different. Not much has changed in the past 2,000 years in this part of the world. But specifically, we read right here that Jesus encounters 10 men who had leprosy. Although leprosy is completely curable in our day, back in the first century, it was a devastating condition. And the worst of it wasn't actually the deadening of your nerves so that you couldn't feel anything, or the nasty spots that would just kind of start taking over your skin. All that was awful, awful. But even worse than that was the social stigma. Because lepers, in their culture, were treated as subhuman, unwanted, even feared outcasts. In fact, people were so afraid of catching the infection that Jewish law had very strict rules that lepers had to follow to avoid accidental contact. We read about this in places like Leviticus 13. It says this: the person with such an infectious disease, like leprosy, must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out loud, "Unclean, unclean." So not only are you doomed to live this life of loneliness and pain, but for the rest of your life, whenever you see someone coming, even from a distance, you have to shout out loud, as loud as you can, "Unclean! Stay back! You don't want to get near me. I'm broken." And so, friends, as I was rereading this story yet again and reflecting upon it, you know, I realized there are a lot of thoughts that run through our mind. And many of those thoughts, we know they're not true. They just kind of flow in and out. But then there are some things that go beyond the mind. We actually speak them with our voice. And many of the things that we speak to other people are things that we believe, our opinions, sometimes things that we feel pretty strongly about. But friends, when we believe something so strongly that we're willing to shout it out loud as we possibly can, that requires conviction. Because you're telling the whole entire world, we're telling anyone within earshot, listen up, I passionately, undeniably believe this is absolutely, totally true. And so these men declared loudly, "I am diseased and disgusting. I am unwanted. I am infected. Don't come near me. I am so messed up, and it just might rub off on you." Now, thankfully, probably no one here today has experienced leprosy, but The truth is, we are all infected by a spiritual disease. Every single one of us in the room today, we have contracted a spiritual disease. The Bible calls this disease sin. And according to his word, sin always brings with it death and despair and destruction. Now, guys, the uncomfortable truth is, and my job is to remind us of the uncomfortable things, but to realize every single one of us, we're going to die someday. These 10 men on the road just knew the name of that which was going to finally bring them to their end. And you know, there's just something about that kind of diagnosis, that realization that radically transforms your perspective on what's really most important in this life. But again, Scripture says sin, and sin is opposition to God. Scripture says sin is the root of all the world's evil and injustice, all the grief and fear and tragedy and depression and despair. Which is why, in many ways, we can all relate to these 10 men, because we all need a kind of healing from this deadly malady of the soul. Verse 12. The lepers stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Did you catch that? Because somehow I've been reading this story for 30 years and I never noticed it before. But they yelled the wrong thing. What are they supposed to yell? What are they supposed to shout? They're supposed to shout, "Unclean! Stay away from me." They know to the core of their being that they're broken and diseased. That's what they believe. But all of a sudden, we don't know how, but somehow they started to believe something more, something greater. They started to believe there's this one out there named Jesus, and he can actually do something about my sickness. And so when they see him, even from a distance, they start to shout out as loud as they possibly can, "Jesus! Jesus, please see me! I need you." And he did see them. Verse 14, when Jesus saw them, he said to these 10 lepers, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And, this is just so cool, and as they went, they were cleansed. Okay, so we might miss this little detail because we're not ancient Orthodox Jews, but in their culture, if someone had a skin disease, but then it got better, it cleared up. According to Leviticus 14, after they were healed, they were to go to the priest who would inspect them and verify, "Yeah, you're clean, you can now rejoin the community." But Jesus turns it around. He tells them to go even before they've been healed. Obey first. Trust me first. Follow my plan first. And if you do, that's when you're going to experience that healing. And these 10 men, and again, I was just trying to picture myself in their shoes. They've been in this position so long. They're so desperate. They go. Because what else do we got to lose? And so they obey Jesus. And what's so amazing is as they walked down the road toward the priests, the sores on their skin begin to disappear the way that dirt washes off in the bath. And every one of them was made clean, healed from this malevolent disease. Wow. Praise God, huh? Now that would be a fantastic end to the story. Just tie it up right there, you know, amen, and they all live happily ever after. But actually, it doesn't end there. It keeps going, verse 15. One of them, not 10, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God. Look at this. Are you seeing this? Is this just me? Praising God in a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. for years. We don't know how long, maybe decades and decades. Every single day, he had to shout out loud, "I am broken, I'm unwanted, stay away from me." And now Jesus changed his story. He turned around and he comes back, and now he starts yelling out as loud as he can, "God is so good! Did you know? Have you heard? God is so good. He is awesome. He is powerful. He is holy. And he sees me. He knows me. He loves me. He actually wants me. He is with me. He is mighty. There is nothing that this God can't do. Have you heard about him?" This man is just overwhelmed with thanksgiving. When it's in there and you can't hold it in, so it comes out of your mouth. That's thanksgiving. And he's so grateful, so appreciative, so moved by God's unwarranted grace. He feels compelled. I'm just going to shout about it to anyone within earshot. They're going to hear whether they want to or not. Verse 17, Jesus asks, "We're not all 10 cleansed?" He's doing the math. Hang on. "Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this Samaritan, this foreigner? Then Jesus said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." 10 lepers were healed, but only one of the 10 was made well, made whole. Number 2, if you're taking notes, only thanksgiving brings true and full restoration. Only a heart of thanksgiving brings full and true restoration. You know, friends, for the past 17 years of full-time ministry, I've encountered so many people who find themselves in desperate situations. Maybe it's a failing marriage. Maybe it's a medical crisis. Maybe it's a financial disaster. And I've seen this again and again. When everything falls apart, some people, just out of nowhere, they suddenly get real serious about their faith, and they start coming to church every single weekend. They start, you know, they join a Bible study. They start reading the Bible for the very first time. They start praying. They start crying out to God every single day. But something I've noticed is that once things normalize, the crisis is solved. Some of them, not all of them, but some of them, they just kind of forget about God. And they just kind of disappear. "Well, that's taken care of. I'm done with that." But friends, I've also noticed that others, as they've gone through that experience, it's like they can finally see for the first time in their lives. And it's like we realize who it was that healed us, and we start to recognize God answered our prayer, and he is good, and he is true, and he is mighty, and he is awesome, and he is for us. And we begin to adopt a lifestyle of thanksgiving. A lifestyle of thanksgiving, where Thanksgiving is not just like a holiday once a year where we eat too much. It's not a list of things that your pastor pressured you into writing down. It's not a fleeting moment of gratitude, but it's a lifestyle where we just live our lives able to see things, able to recognize God's blessing all around us, the good things he's doing all around us every single day, and then we respond to those things with worship. According to Luke 17, that's the moment when we're finally made well. That's the moment when we're made whole. Whew, church, that's good. That'll preach. But I think there's even a little more. Because the word translated here as made well is sozo, which in the Greek means salvation. Literally what Jesus said was, "Your faith has saved you." 10 men wanted a healing, and then they left once they got it. One of them turned around and came back. because he realized he needed something so much more. He realized what he needed most was Jesus himself. Beloved, what we need more than anything in this life is the healer of the soul. Now, you may not like this truth, you may not want to hear it, but the reality is all healing is temporary. All 10 of these men got this miraculous healing. They all got older and passed away anyway. And I don't know what happened to the other 9, but one of them was healed not only of the body, he was healed of the much more sinister disease, the sickness of the soul. And he experienced the better healing, the greater healing, the eternal healing, because he turned around and he ran to the Savior. So friends, today we're celebrating some baptisms. And we're going to get to see some people make this decision. And one of the things we do here, just so you know, at Summit, and you've already had a chance to do this, but when someone gets baptized, when they come up out of the water, this is like the most important thing anyone can do. The most important decision is to follow Jesus. And so we shout and cheer and we make a big noise. But one of the things I do when we, you probably noticed this by now if you've been coming for a while, when someone wants to get baptized, we make everybody make a little baptism video. And either they have to tell their testimony, or they have to, at very minimal, say a declaration of faith, a statement of faith. And I tell everyone they have to do that, and some people don't like it. They get a little frustrated at me. They're like, I don't want to say anything. But friends, that's the whole idea. That's a big, big part of what baptism is all about. We're declaring out loud that we want to follow Jesus. It's kind of like we're standing up in front of this community, and there's some friends and there's some strangers, and we're just shouting it out loud. I don't care who knows. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow him with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my soul, with all of my strength. He has my future. He is all I need when I die. He has my everything. I don't care who knows it. Yeah, post it on the internet. Share it on social media. And yeah, they might find out at work, and they might talk about it at school. I belong to him now. God is so good, and I've got to tell somebody. Beloved, I will never understand. Sometimes we pray, God, we need some healing in this situation. Sometimes he says yes, and sometimes he says no. That was true even in Jesus' day. But friends, Scripture promises us this, Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you cry out to Jesus, I need you, I need a Savior, he will come and he will rescue you. So friends, we're going to move into this time of baptism. We're going to celebrate and clap and cheer with them. And so we're going to start with Brinley.
Today, because I want people to know that I'm giving my life to God. I was going to this camp fall retreat, and a little bit into it, I realized that it was time to give my life to God and stop hanging out with those people who were making bad influences on me. My life before was dishonesty, and I was getting in trouble with the people who I was hanging out with, and I just had no care in the world about who God was. My life, like now, is more honesty and joyful, and I'm grateful for my dad because he kept pushing me into believing who God is and and believing in me.
My name is Gray Ruby. Today I'm deciding to give my life to Jesus.
That's okay. Okay. Well, here we are. All right, so we've got Brinley here. Give her a round of applause. She's the first one up here. That's right. All right, Brinley. Are you ready? All right, I'll pass this off. So, Brinley, by your declaration that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you want to plug your nose? There we go. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Woo-hoo! There you go.
Give her one more round of applause.
My name is Gray Ruby. Today I'm deciding to give my life to Jesus. I was at Grace Fellowship like a few weeks ago. And it was the first time I had gone for this year, and we were just talking and like praying and worshiping and singing, and I was just got this feeling. I was like, I need to get closer to God, and like this is the moment. I know He's my Savior because He laid down His life for my sins and to give me a chance. Another chance at life and to be born again, and so that I can learn from my sins and move forward. Before I chose, I like knew that I decided. I feel like I was a lot less motivated to do stuff, and even to like hang out with my friends. And I was just in a lot worse of a mood most of the time. But now I feel like I'm a lot happier. And I've found, the group of people that I'm meant to be with that, allow me to be myself and not be ashamed of the things that I like or, the other people that I hang out with. And just let me, help me to not be scared of what people think of me. I want to be baptized today so that the world knows that Jesus is my Savior and that He loves me and I love Him.
All right, and we've got Gray here. Are you ready? All right. Well, by your declaration that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
My name is Lincoln Ruby, and I want to be baptized because I want to devote my life to Jesus, and I want the world to know that. God is teaching me to read my Bible more and pay more attention with Him and spend more time with Him. Mm-hmm.
All right. And here's Lincoln. Are you ready, buddy? All right. By your proclamation that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Mason Morrison, and I would like to be baptized today because before, like in my life, I felt like I was climbing a ladder without rungs, if you understand what I mean. I was just doing like whatever I wanted without Jesus, like putting it aside. I'll do Jesus later. I want to do my own thing now. And like I've realized like I can't keep doing that. I gotta take accountability for my actions and actually move forward with my life instead of constantly trying to climb a ladder without rungs. And I've been trying to like keep climbing this ladder and get to God without God's help. I've been trying to just do it on my own and get there without, just by myself. Like I've always did that. I do that all the time. I just try to go on without anybody's help and just all by myself because I can do this. But I realized that Jesus is the rungs to my ladder, and I need to have him in my life to actually climb that ladder. So that's why I've decided to get baptized. Just like last month, I finally just like came to the realization that I can't do this on my own. I have to have Jesus in my life to actually get there. I can't just do it on my own and fix myself without the intervention of God. So yeah. After that realization, I've been like more outgoing. I've been like more just working on myself. Like I've taken up more hobbies and stuff that I like to do, been with family more. I feel like I've been more family focused and been more like trying to be more like myself around people instead of being what other people, like maybe like I feel like I should be around other people.
All right, Mason, in response to your declaration of faith that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Woo-hoo!
As you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all.
Dear friends, in keeping with the example of Jesus, you, Dick, have presented yourself this day that you might receive the sacrament of baptism. As I said, baptism is not itself the door to salvation, but rather an outward sign of the new birth which God has brought in your heart. Baptism proclaims to all the world that you have taken Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, and that it is your purpose to always obey him. In order that we may hear your testimony of what God has done for you, and that we may know that you understand the significance of the step you are taking, I'm going to ask you just a couple of questions and just respond accordingly. Do you believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I do.
That Jesus Christ the Son suffered in your place on the cross?
Yes, I do.
That he died but rose again?
Yes, I do.
And that he now sits at the Father's right hand until he returns to judge all people on the last day?
Yes, I do.
And do you believe in the Holy Scriptures as the inspired Word of God?
Yes, I do.
That by the grace of God, every person has the ability and responsibility to choose between right and wrong?
Yes, I do.
And that those who repent of their sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are justified by faith?
Yes, I do.
Do you intend by this act to testify to the witnesses here and to all the world that you are a Christian and that you will be a loyal follower of Christ? And I know that you already are in doing so, but could you say I do?
I do.
All right. Dick, because of the testimony of your faith and that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
So much. You may know this, but we have a phenomenal care team here at Summit, and so we kind of take turns going to visit people in the hospital and that kind of thing. And so Pastor Nathan went to go see Dick, and he asked him, "Have you ever been baptized before?" And Dick was like, "I don't know. I'm not really sure." But and so Nathan asked if he'd like to, and he said yes. And I was kind of bummed out. It was ended up being on a day that I was out of town. But we are so excited to get to see Dick make that public declaration at the end of the faith that he's had for so long. And most of you know he passed away not long after that, and he entered into the kingdom. And he saw his Savior face to face. And I bet he was loud with thanksgiving. Friends, let's take a moment and pray together, shall we? Jesus, we thank you so much that you are the healer of our souls. Jesus, you're what we need. You're what we need more than anything. We think we know what we need, but what we need is you. We need that cleansing, that healing, that redemption, that salvation that can only come from you, Jesus. So friends, I gotta say, I can't preach this message without giving people an opportunity to respond. And I know I always say this, but response moments are always a little uncomfortable, but this is just between you and God. Don't be thinking about me. Don't be thinking about the person in front of you. You just listen, and if you're supposed to respond, then I encourage you to do so. And it's okay if no one feels led to respond this morning. That's not what it's about, but I gotta ask. So if today you wanna cry out to Jesus, if you wanna confess, I'm broken, I'm a sinner, I need that healing, I need that cleansing, I need to be made new, I need to know that my eternity is in his kingdom, I want to know for sure, and I'm just, you know, silently but crying out loud, I need Jesus, I'm going to invite you to raise your hand, raise it up high as a bold declaration, amen. Well, let's pray right now. God, you see these people who have raised up their hands bold and high. And so, Lord, I'm going to pray out loud, and they're going to pray words similar to these in their own hearts. But, Lord, these words are from their hearts, not from mine. Jesus, we need you. We are broken. We are unwanted. We are filled with sin. We have done many wrong things. We have broken your holy laws. Forgive us, Jesus. But today, Jesus, like that man on the road, we turn around, we turn away from that old life, and we run toward you and your new life. We don't want that old life of sin and selfishness anymore. We want a new life, a new beginning. Jesus, as we just saw Dick proclaim, Lord, we're proclaiming in our hearts, we believe in you. We believe you the Savior. We believe you died on the cross and that you rose again. And Lord, right now, we are saying, we are crying out in our hearts, save me. And we thank you so much that you see and you hear and you heal us. We love you, Jesus. We thank you so much. Every day after this one is going to be a day of thanksgiving. And on our worst day, we still have so much to be thankful about. Jesus, we love you, and we pray these things in your mighty name, and all God's people agreed together and said,
Amen.
Amen.